The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app.
Light up the trees, light up the birds, light up the letters, light up the words, light up the desert, light up the town, light up the evening when the sun goes down. We'll be lighting up all over the world.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. This is our Hanukkah edition, and we're wishing you and yours a very happy and healthy, joyous Hanukkah. I hope by this point you're not all latke out, as we said, as my expression might be oisgelatjes, if I can coin a new Jewish word. In this half hour of the show, we'll be featuring an interview with author Esther Gross, who just came out with a new book, Mazel Tov, which Mazel Tov is really cute. The Mazel has got an A to Z in the middle of it. You're married, now what? Quite cute compendium of how to handle marriage. The portion of the week is the portion of Vayigash. We still might talk about Hanukkah a bit, maybe, since we're in the middle of Hanukkah after all. We have a wonderful assortment of Jewish music, a very fine Hasidic story. Hopefully we'll have time this week. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. IDF forces arrested a number of Salafist jihadists in Hebron. Information given by the terrorists led to an IDF raid of three Salafist leaders. The men opened fire on the soldiers and were killed by return fire. Four wounded Syrian civilians, including a 14-year-old boy, were evacuated to Ziv Hospital in Sfat. So far, the medical center has treated 186 Syrians wounded in the ongoing civil war. The four were treated and returned to Syria. The IDF emergency medical team that had been in the Philippines to aid typhoon victims left after 11 days. The 148-person medical team treated more than 2,600 patients, including 800 children. The team also performed 52 surgeries and delivered 36 babies. And, of course, one of them was named Israel. Hoo-ha. A European Union team replaced the IDF one. The chiefs of the FBI and National Security Agency of the United States very quietly, that's how they do things secretly in these agencies, visited Israel. The Obama administration emphasized its close security relationship with Israel in part to show that the rift between how best to keep Iran from becoming a nuclear power has not adversely affected ties between Israel and the U.S. Israel is hosting a major Air Force drill defense drill called Blue Flag, in which the air forces of the United States, Greece, Poland, Italy, and Israel will conduct advanced exercises. Over 100 planes will fly the skies over the Negev for several intense weeks, holding joint and independent exercises. Amrit Maraj of Brooklyn was arrested for participating in a knockout game after punching a 24-year-old Orthodox Jewish man. Marajif was charged with misdemeanor assault and harassment. He was not charged with a hate crime. This is pursuant to what we talked about last week, that it seems to be a nice game that people play around the country where they go up and they try to knock out a person with one punch just on the street. The European Parliament awarded Israel the prize for having the best record for gender equality among 135 nations. The Reducing the Gender Gap, quote-unquote, prize will be given at the Women in Parliament Global Forum Annual Summit in Brussels, which is expected to bring together over 9,000 international female parliamentarians. Supreme Court Judge Daphna Barak-Erez from Israel will accept the prize on behalf of Israel. And finally, one of 11 known copies of the Bay Psalms printed in 1640 was sold at Sotheby's for $14 million, making it the most valuable printed book in the world. The Bay Psalm book is the first book ever printed in what is now the United States. It wasn't even called the colonies back in 1640. The auction book was purchased by philanthropist David Rubenstein, who plans to share it with the American public by loaning it to libraries across the country. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Esther Gross, who's an author, who's written a book called Mazel Tov, You're Married Now What? It's published by Feldheim Publishing. How are you today, Esther?
Great. How are you?
Good. Baruch Hashem. Thank God we are doing well. Okay, so the first thing that when I opened up the box from that Feldheim sent me, and I saw this book about being married, one of the things that hit me is, how could you have so much about being married in such a small book? I mean, people write books about being married that are the size of telephone books. So what is marriage such a light thing that we can put it into how many pages in this book? You don't even have page numbers on the book. But it looks like less than 100 pages, Esther?
Right. Okay, so the secret is that I think that people are really very tired of reading a big book. And when you read a big book, it's very monumental and it's very overwhelming. So what I did is, and basically when you read a book and you're just reading like the captions that are highlighted, most people read the captions that are highlighted. So this is what this book is all about. It's like the best of any marriage book, but just taking the most important thing, gleaning the most important thing, filtering out the rest that's not so, that's redundant, and just making, it's like a PowerPoint presentation, basically. And I think it's also that something small could make a tremendous impact.
Mm-hmm. Big things come in small packages, you're saying.
Exactly, right.
Indeed.
And also another thing that I want to say is that my mom, who was a Holocaust survivor, she went through Auschwitz and everything. She whenever she wanted to make a point, it was always like with the proverb. Instead of giving the whole lecture, she would just give like a sentence like, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery, today's a gift. And that's why it's called the present. And that's all she needed to say instead of giving like a whole lecture. And it had a tremendous impact on me. So that's why I feel that the less you talk and you need to say a few words, small words create a tremendous, tremendous ripple effect. Just like you drop a pebble in the water, mm-hmm. then it creates a great big impact.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to remember that expression. Yesterday was history, tomorrow's a mystery, and
today's
today is a gift. That's why
it's called
the
present.
That is so cute. Anyway, so the tell us about yourself, because if you're writing a book out about marriage, then I'm assuming that you must be an expert on marriage. And let me just back this up a bit. I went to a lecture once of a person who was a marriage therapist. And he mm-hmm. he said, I am an expert on marriage because I have been married 3 times. And it's like, mm-hmm. whoa, wait a minute, what's wrong with this equation over here? So he says, you know, I've only been married once. I guess that makes me a rookie, but I've been married for 30 years. So tell us about yourself, Esther Gross.
Okay, so basically I was born and bred in Brooklyn, New York, Williamsburg. And I got married when I was 18 years old. And it's a little bit, I come from a Hasidic background. And I think even when I was a little kid, I always wanted to be a candle lighter. Like, that was kind of my mission. So when I got married and I looked at my husband, I looked at me when we sat down together, and I decided to just make it beautiful every day. And what I did was I worked on my marriage every day. How? Just by imagining that every day I'm married again. Like, we're born again. It says that every person, we're born again every day. So like as if you go on an interview and you try to make an impression, and it's the same in the marriage. Every day, what happened yesterday, it's over. Today's a new day. Start again and just make it beautiful just for today. You didn't have to work on your marriage the whole life, just one day at a time. And yard by yard, life is hard, inch by inch, life is a sin. If you just do little things, it makes a tremendous big difference. A good word, catching your spouse doing something right. And just looking, zooming out at the total view of the picture, not nitpicking and nagging. And it took me to 40 years. I just had my 40th anniversary last year.
Mazel tov. Congratulations. All to the same person.
Yes, Baruch Hashem. And his name, yes. My name is Esther, and his name is?
Mordechai?
Yes, and we got married on Adar. Adar.
Indeed. So you're just, no wonder you're so full of joy. So.
And also that this year we have a leap year. We have two Adars.
Double joy, yes.
We have to do double joy, and it's a leap year, so that means you have to take a leap of faith.
Indeed, indeed. If you're just tuning in, our guest is Esther Gross. She's written a book called Mazel Tov, You're Married, Now What? I was actually quite impressed with what actually caught my eye about this book and didn't make just like make me feel that, okay, this is like not worth it, but made me really feel that this book is worth it. It was actually, what you do is you go through the alphabet, A to Z, and you have the word Mazel Tov, and you have the A to Z superscripted, so just to understand that this is what we're going to do. But the first entry for A, if you could tell us about this word aspire.
Mm-hmm.
Could you please, if you have the book in front of you, remember it. If not, I'll read it for everybody.
You believe it that I don't even have my book in front of me?
Okay, so aspire.
Anybody that meets me says, can I have your book? Can I have your book? Every time Fall Time sends me books, I just give it to everybody. I'm a giver.
So aspire to build a miniature sanctuary based on commitment and faithfulness on the grounds of trust and openness in the sacred union of matrimony. Now, the idea of a home being a miniature sanctuary, if you could expound on that, please, Esther.
Right. So we're going to make it very simple because maybe sanctuary sounds like a very big and lofty.
I like the word sanctuary.
You like that. Okay.
Yes, it means like the word from like the word holy, yes.
Right. So basically what it is that when you're in your house with your spouse, right, imagine that you're really in a palace and God is with you, God is watching you, the King of all kings, and he's there to help you every step of the way. To emulate God's compassion, God's forgiveness. We go to shul every Yom Kippur and we cry and we ask him for forgiveness and he forgives us. Giving the benefit of the doubt. Basically, just every day imagining that you're building another brick to this big, beautiful edifice that's a safe haven where you can feel there's a lot of trust and openness, and also, and that you're committed to this marriage. It's like a commitment in the same way that we were by Har Sinai and by Mount Sinai, and we committed to serve God. So in the same way, we're committed to make this marriage work. You do whatever it takes. And if you need help from outside, you can always call a Rav or a good friend that's out of the box that can help you. And that you could really, really, and also the idea is to love, to have unconditional love for each other. But it only begins if you have unconditional love for yourself. If you love yourself and see your strengths, and you also know that you have weaknesses, and you look at your husband in the same way, and you, in the same way that you're working on yourself, in the same way to help him grow, and hence he'll help you grow, it's just amazing what you can really do. And it doesn't have to be, it can just be something like a small move every day, little drops of acts of kindness, and to build, like imagine that you're building a beautiful edifice. And sometimes a brick will fall off, but it's okay. That's why God gives us another day. Then we start again. And to also know that a setback is always a setup for a comeback. Sometimes, you know, we have a disagreement, but we could make it then even more beautiful by being open and sharing and sandwiching our complaints in a loving way. And what else? I can talk for an hour. I only have half an hour, I think.
Yeah, you're good. Keep going.
Any questions?
Yeah. I have a whole list. Actually, so what you're saying then is when you're talking about the home being a mini sanctuary, so right. you're not talking about this idea of instilling like a rigid religiosity in
right,
the home,
right.
but rather the Talmud says that we have to emulate the Almighty, that just as God is compassionate, you have to be compassionate. Just as God is kind, you have to be kind, et cetera.
Right.
So that's really a tremendous thing to consider when dealing with another person that you're planning on spending the rest of your life with. So if you could comment, just, it sounds like it reminds me that before I became religious, I attended a lecture, and the rabbi said, the question came up about women's place in Judaism. This was back in the 70s in the women's liberation movement, and somebody stood up and said, what about the liberation woman? And the rabbi made an interesting comment. He said that you can have Jewish homes without synagogues, but you can't have synagogues without Jewish homes. So could you comment on that, please, Esther Gross?
Okay, basically, I have a little secret that a woman is a pillar of the home, okay? And we have tremendous power, not in an aggressive manner, but in just by the combination of being soft and maybe a drop assertive. But we can actually make a home or break a home. And if we can build a little synagogue in our home, that's really the hardest. It's easy to go to a synagogue and pray with all those people that you didn't really have so much, spend so many hours with. You didn't have the challenges, the mutual challenges that they have. It's the hardest thing to build at home. But it says that a woman's, it's the wisdom of a woman that builds the home, because we have that extra something. Maybe it's called the oomph. The word triumph is try with a little oomph.
Okay.
That's triumph. That we have that special wisdom, the common sense, or maybe the intuition or understanding to make it beautiful. And hence, we can encourage our spouses to serve God. But first of all, if we can... I think the most important thing I feel is so much to know that I'm a godly, that you're a godly soul, and so is your husband, and to respect that and see that, and that's going to motivate each. Hence you motivate each other to serve God, and I really feel it begins with just at home seeing the godliness in each other, and then ultimately getting a connection with. Going to shul, synagogue, and getting the connection with God. It also says something very interesting. It says that the world was created on three pillars, right? It says
yes,
in
sure.
Ethics of Our Fathers, it says on the Torah, on prayer, and an act of kindness, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So the question is, these three attributes, Torah and act of kindness or prayer, is connected to our forefathers. To Abraham, who was doing acts of kindness, Isaac, an act of prayer, and Yaakov, by studying Torah. So what does it say that the world will stand on three pillars and it starts with Torah, with Yaakov? Why don't we start saying it starts with acts of kindness? Abraham, who was our first forefather, is because Yaakov knew his greatness and appreciated his greatness. He didn't deny his greatness. He knew his greatness, and he knew how special it is. He knew that he's a child of God, and he learned Torah. And so he appreciated the greatness in himself. So the most important thing is to have a real good relationship with yourself. And then, hence, when you have a good relationship with yourself, then ultimately the other two attributes are going to, one is going to promote the other.
Indeed. If you're just tuning in, our guest is Esther Gross. She's an author, written a book called Mazel Tov, You're Married Now What? By Feldheim Publishers. The next letter in the Aleph in this A to Z book, which you've done, is Bloom. Let me just pick this up. Bloom when you're planted. When you enter your home, choose peace and goodwill. The mezuzah on the door is slanted as a cue to being easygoing and flexible. I don't know if I can just give a little background before this one about being easygoing and flexible. The mezuzah is an a commandment to the Jewish people to affix the two portions of the Shema on the door, as it says in both of them, as you shall write them on your doors and on your gates. And there's a discussion in the Talmud whether the mezuzah should be hung vertically, is one opinion. The other opinion says it should be hung horizontally. And so what did they do? The rabbis made a compromise that they hang it diagonally so that it's both horizontally and vertically, and everybody walked away happy. So this idea of compromising and giving in and not having to be right, Esther Bloom, one of the central points of a good marriage?
1,000%. Also, I want to start with the bloom where you're planted, okay?
Go ahead.
And then we'll go to the next thing. So what is bloom where you're planted is, you know, we always look at someone else and say, if I would have that spouse, then things would be good. And if I would have that spouse, things would be good. But no, but Hashem planted you with your spouse. So, you know, there's an expression, the grass looks greener on the other side of the field. But why? Because over there, they're mowed the lawn. Which means to say is wherever God planted you with your spouse, that's where Hashem planted you, and hence that's where you should grow. Don't look over your shoulders at someone else. And if God put you together with a spouse, he's going to help you. You don't have to do this all by yourself. Just try your best, do the possible, and leave God to help you with the impossible. And with the intent, effort, and prayer, you can really, really see a lot of results. Now, regarding compromising is, with the mezuzah, there's two things that I wanted to explain. The first thing is, of course, when you come in, you should, even if you had a hard day, I usually tell people, if you had a hard day, before you go into the house, have a Danish and a coffee.
Okay.
Because when you're hungry, then you're not really, you know. My mother also, before I got married, said one thing, Esther, with Hungarian accent, make sure that when your husband comes home from work, make sure, don't talk to him, just put the food on the table. Once he finishes eating, then you could talk to him. Okay.
So we did that with our kids. People used to look at me because we used to eat when my kids were in the house at 4:30 in the afternoon, because the kids would come home,
right,
and it was a long day and they were crabby and tired and they couldn't talk and it was like not functioning, and we didn't need the negative energy. So the first things first is we would feed them at 4:30, and all the people that I dealt with knew that between 4:30 and 6:30, I didn't pick up the phone, I didn't have any classes, I didn't do anything. 4:30 to 6:30 was home time, and 4:30 supper time first. So, and it's taken me till this year. I mean, my kids are all out of the house at this point, and I still feel funny about eating supper at 6 o'clock, because it's like, why are we eating so late? So I've just gotten so used to it. But continue. Yes, go ahead.
Yes. So, okay. So when you're walking in the door, make sure that you have a smile. And of course, if you're the woman in the home and you prepared your husband a meal, of course, you couldn't make exactly whatever, just put that big smile on your face. Just say good to make it. Wear the mask of compassion and calmness, because feelings are like radar. Radar is a palindrome. Whatever you give out, that's what you get back. So just to be pleasant, both of you should be pleasant and greet each other with a smile. And again, regarding the mezuzah, which is slanted, so it could be two things. One is, if the house looks that's not straight and everything, it's not put together and the Legos are all over the place and things are crooked, you can still kiss it. You can still kiss everybody. Okay, because things in your house are not going to be exactly straight. Perfection is only direction. There's no such a place. So two things. Number one, for the mezuzah, to compromise and to give in for the sake of peace and to choose peace over power. And second of all, that thing, to give up perfection. There's no such a thing. Only Hashem is perfect. So the house is not going to look so perfect. Not everything is going to be straight, just like the mezuzah slanted. And still be kind and compassionate and loving and... So that's basically what covers the letter B, I guess, right?
Indeed. Somebody, a very smart person, told me when I first became engaged, said, never fight about money. He said, so many marriages are on the rocks because of finances. He says, it's not worth it, because money is just so transitory, especially my house. Money doesn't, there's no place in my house for money, because whenever I go looking for it, there's none there anyway. So are there things, Esther Gross, that are worth fighting about? You could say no. I mean,
basically, I would say that I'll say what I heard someone say, and I think that's what I really focus on. If it's a triviality, I let it go. Okay? Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being like a permanent loss, something major, if you fight over things that are really, really permanent, not the little trivialities, whatever it is, that you can still make amends, but things, major things, if it is an emergency or something, then you're going to be proactive. You're going to do whatever you need to do. But if you're going to fight, I don't really believe in saying the word fight. Maybe it's to disagree agreeably.
Got it.
And to sit down and talk about it. And I think there's a way of talking about it in a way where you can get the message across. And that's like, I think the Rambam said, to sandwich rebuke with love. And
explain.
If you want, I could explain it.
Please, yeah. Explain what that means.
Okay. So if there's something that really bothers you about your spouse, okay, and you want to talk about it, but you don't want to have like this long lecture. You don't want to lecture him. You don't want to talk at him. You want to talk with him, okay? You sit down together, make sure that you ate, and it's a nice atmosphere and it's calm. And then what you try to do is just close your eyes for a second. Imagine all the beautiful things that about your husband. Hey, I'm talking about my husband because I'm the spouse, so, you know, it doesn't really make a difference who's going to talk to who. But the idea is that the first thing you do is you just get into your mind all the positive things, and you start with saying something beautiful like that, you know, we're so good together, and our relationship is so important, and I want to make it even better. So I want to discuss something with you. And then what you do is, instead of using you messages, you use I message. And you say, I feel, and put in whatever you want, like, I feel frustrated when, and then you say what you want. I feel frustrated when the house is not in order. You come in and you throw everything. Instead of hanging up the coat, you throw it on the chair. And it would make me feel so, I know it's a little thing you could tell your husband. You know it's a little thing, but it's those little things that make such a big difference. So if you don't mind doing that, that would be great. And so you said what you had to say without blaming and saying you're such a slob and without using it, without blaming. You're just sharing how you feel and how you could make your marriage even greater. And then you could say, you know, by the end, you close this whole conversation by saying, I'm just giving you a trivial thing. It could be something bigger. I'm just giving something universal, because some women call me and say, my husband throws the coat on the chair. I didn't know. To me, this wouldn't bother me, but I'm just giving you an example. You can use this in any example. And then you say, you close the sentence and you say, you know, thank you so much for listening to me. It feels so much better. It wasn't a whole big preaching thing. It was more reaching out to him and saying, thank you so much for listening and for honoring me. And then what happens is your husband is also, you're teaching your husband how to communicate when he's going to have a hard time. Guess what? It's going to come back to you. He's going to act the same way.
Okay, that's going to have to do it for us. We are out of time. Our guest has been Esther Gross. Mazel Tov. You're Married Now, What is the Book? By Feldheim Publisher, available online wherever fine Jewish works are to be found. Esther, if I can make a suggestion, I think that this little short book that you've written, you should make an annotated edition and a compendium to go with it. You could call it the compendium to Mazel Tov, You're Married, because every page has a whole story, a whole background, a whole insight into it that really needs to be expounded upon. And I wish you lots of luck, and thank you for coming on.
And I just want to say that I am so honored, because spreading light is my mission, which is my greatest commission.
Okay, you got it. And we'll keep in touch.
Take care.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS drug detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Shul Vinman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This is the Hanukkah edition. This is Sam Glazer, and this piece is called The Hanukkah Song. This is just for you.
On eight winter nights, we light the lights on the menorah together. Of our people everywhere. In spite of the darkness, we light the lights on the menorah. Knowing the dark doesn't hold a candle to our prayers. We light the lights, warming up the wide world all over. And we heal each broken heart.
Each broken heart.
We light tonight, singing out our favorite songs together. And for a moment we see we're not so far apart. Now there have been times of danger where we couldn't learn our Torah. When they tried to make our spirit disappear. So eight nights a year, we light the lights on the menorah, knowing the promise of our Torah perseveres. We light the lights, warming up the whole wide world all over.
Of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Hey, Schulterman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This is a musical interlude time. We do try to find our best to find the most eclectic music. So here we have a song. This is Woody Guthrie. We're not talking about just any Woody. We're talking about the Woody Guthrie, who happened in sort of a period of his time to have been married to a Jewish woman, who was the mother of Arlo. And there's a whole story about Arlo's bar mitzvah that I remember hearing about when I was a kid. And this song is called The Hanukkah Dance.
Tip, tap, toe, happy Hanukkah, around you go. My little latke on your toes. Happy Hanukkah, and around you go. Clap your hands, happy Hanukkah, clap, clap hands. My little strudler on your toes. Happy Hanukkah, and around you go. Jump real high, happy Hanukkah, jump, jump high. My little fruitcake on your toes. Happy Hanukkah, and around you go. Run, run fast, happy Hanukkah, run, run, run. My little sugar pie on your toes. Happy Hanukkah, and around you go. Hop, 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 hop the Hanukkah, yippity hop. My little shingly on your toes. Happy Hanukkah, round and around you go. Tip, tap, toe, happy Hanukkah, around you go. Happy Hanukkah on your toes. Happy Hanukkah, round and around you go. Tip, tap, toe, happy Hanukkah, around you go. My little latke on your toes. Happy Hanukkah, round and around you go.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurances accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Vinman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. I forgot to mention, today is the last day to buy Franklin Cider until next year, or Mashiach comes. We'll see what happens with cider. But yes, for 2013, today is the last day to get to Franklin Cider. And as just a reminder, as the Friedman children say, everything else is just juice. Some of my kids were traveling from Detroit to out east, and the one thing that my kid said was, can you bring a gallon of Franklin cider? So, yes, indeed, we made arrangements, and you'll want to get there if you haven't already. We got one more piece of music to listen to. This is the Maccabees. This is last year's Hanukkah song. This is called Shine.
I see a light reflection, refraction. Is it nothing more than a chemical reaction? It flickers and grows. Nobody knows how much we feel, how quickly it goes. Turn off the dark and vanquish the night. Show the whole world for 8 days of twilight. Then and now, they fought and we fight. Fight for the right to live by our own light. Let me see the light. Give me something to live by. Let me see the light. Something to live by. Help me see myself in.
around. The world that we live in, so much cold and strife. Wanted a light to warm another life. Till the darkest night with the brightest light. Cause it's time for you to shine. A little dedication, small illumination. Just one person to change a whole nation.
Can you see the light? Give me something to do. Shed the light in each direction.
Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. This is the part of the show where we talk about the portion of the week, and it also happens to be Hanukkah. And I like connecting the portion of the week to the holiday when it comes out. Must be having something to do with my relationship to the Shalach HaKodesh, who maintained that the portion of the week has a direct correspondence and correlation with the holiday and vice versa. So Vayigash starts, which is Vayigash could be found in the book of Genesis, chapter 44, verse 18 and following. At this point, Joseph, who is the viceroy, has taken Benjamin as captured for allegedly stealing Joseph's goblet. And we open up Judah, who is sort of like the spokesperson for the brothers, approaches Joseph to try and get to lobby the release of Benjamin. Now, the word vayigash means to encounter, but it means a specific type of encounter, like two armies encountering each other on the battlefield. That's the nuance of the word vayigash. And what was this encounter over? And you look, and if you look at the annals of history, if you look at the later parts of the Bible, Judah were the kings of half of the Jewish people, and Joseph, represented by the tribe of Ephraim, were the kings of the other half of the Jewish people, the 10 tribes and the two tribes. Their kings were Joseph and Judah. And indeed, in the Messianic era, it's talked about of a Mashiach, a Messiah who is descendant of king, of Joseph, and a Mashiach who's the descendant of Judah. And the interaction that the two have, or according to one opinion, they're both one opinion. So they're both one person. His mother will be from Ephraim. His father will be from Judah. The interaction here is one of behalf of Judah, that what's the problem? You have a Jewish person In this case, he's referred to as a youth. He happens to be 31 years old, but he's still referred to as the youth because you know how it is when you're the baby of the family. You're always just like the kid. Judah really put it out to ensure the safety of what would be classified as a Jewish child. What was Hanukkah be? Hanukkah would be the idea of chinuch. Chanukah is beach. There are many meanings to the word chanuch. Hanukkah. Hanukkah means they rested on the 25th day of the month. It comes from the word chinuch to mean education. It also comes from chanukah, means to chanukah samizbeach, means to rededicate. This is what Judah was doing. And this is a lesson for us. We have to dedicate ourselves to Judaism such that it ensures the passage to the next generation. The whole concept of Hanukkah was we could live as Hellenists. We could live being assimilated into Greek culture. The Greeks did not want to wipe out Jews. They wanted to wipe out they didn't even want to wipe out Judaism. They wanted to wipe out the holiness of Judaism. Make it mundane. Make it like, you know, normal. These Jews. We talked about this last week already. But that's exactly the point of what makes Judaism successful, is our dedication, our chanukha, our dedication to the holiness, the sanctity of the ideals of Judaism. And understanding, yes, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. It's not just a day off. You can take a day off anytime. People took Thursday off. You know, people, I'm not from the big celebrators of Thanksgiving. And I explain, not that I have anything intrinsically wrong with people thanking God for all the good that they have. Jews do that every day in the morning when we wake up. Our first thing that comes out of our mouth is, I thank you, O living and eternal King, for returning my soul to me. Great is your faith. Every single morning, before I do anything else, that's what comes out of my mouth. Thank you for giving me another day. So we're into that groove. And if you ask me, how am I feeling? I say, thank God. Because we're into that groove of thanking God. I don't need like a day. But that's not why I'm not a big Thanksgiving person. The reason why I'm not a big Thanksgiving person is because normally what we're doing on Thursday night in the wintertime is we're preparing for the Friday night meal. We're preparing for Shabbos because Shabbos is a day of sanctity, of holiness. And it's a mitzvah to eat on Friday. On Thursday night, to just go putting yourself into a food coma, I can't really justify it. But for those people who do, okay, no, at least they're thanking God once a year. They remember the Almighty. It's every good thing is a good thing. And if people can get together and not fight, it's also a good thing. But this, that we have Hanukkah this week specifically, is a time to show the Almighty that, yes, we are ready to give it for the cause, to be like Judah, to go to prepare for war for our ideals. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way? RabbiFinman.com. What will you find on Rabbi Finman, RABBIFINMAN.com? You'll find, first of all, right on the homepage, a link to contact me. You don't have to go looking around the page. Where's the contact link? Nope, it's right on the homepage. You click it on, it goes right to your inbox, goes over to your outbox, rather, and then comes to my inbox. And we send letters to each other, and we have a relationship, and life is good. You'll also find archived editions of the show going back about a month. You'll find editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, and the Hasidic U story, which are various media of yours truly, conveying messages from Judaism that hopefully are interesting, exciting, and fun. Heavy on the fun. And you'll find also the very exciting and fun donations page. It's Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a good time for giving gelt. It's a good time for giving extra charity and showing God that, listen, I'm in the groove over here too. We're getting into December. December is a month when you got to make sure that all of your charities have been given so the IRS doesn't bother you too much on April 15th. And so now is the time. We haven't paid for November yet. So now is the time to go to the computer and give. It doesn't matter how much. Go and click on the $18 click. And if the $18 doesn't fit into your budget, click on the $10 button. Okay? And if that number is too big, just write in a number and donate to the Jewish Hour. If we had all 40,000 people or so that were listening to the Jewish Hour would give a dollar a month, then we would definitely have no problem over here. So just be part of that club. Just go and give. We're 18 years on air. We are listener-supported radio. We do have some sponsors. Not enough to cover the budget. This is a radio program. It's Detroit's only radio program. We're heard from Bowling Green to Pinconning and from Brighton past Windsor. So this is, covers a lot of turf. You're listening. You know who you are. Go to RabbiFinman.com. Click on the donations page. Do it today. Don't like using the internet for handling your finances? I can understand that. Send your donation of any amount to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. World War II. There was a group of Jews who managed to escape from a concentration camp, which I'm just finding out that there weren't seven concentration camps. There were actually hundreds of concentration camps. And the number of people who died in the war was not 6 million. It was probably closer to 8 or 9 million. And the devastation was much greater than has previously been believed. So this group broke out, and they joined up with a group of Christian partisans. These were Polish officers who managed to escape their prisoner of war camp. And they formed this group of basically terrorizing the Nazis whenever possible. Their group included an old rabbi who was too weak to do any fighting, so they made him the cook, and they also gave him the job of praying on behalf of these partisans. And during the war, this group suffered no casualties. When the war was over and people were now displaced, so a whole bunch of people decided, we have to get out of here. We have to travel away from here because this is no place for us now. There was a river between the two countries. I believe this is Poland and Czechoslovakia. They had to travel. And the Czechoslovakia at that point had been taken over by the Russians. They waited until the winter time to cross over because the river was easy to cross because they'd walk across because it was frozen. They didn't want to take the rabbi because the rabbi was an old man. But somebody said, I'm not going without him. He's our security. They were told that they should go to a hut and watch until the guard who's watching the river leaves. And they have about 2 hours to be in that hut to warm themselves. And that's what they did. They went in. The old man took out a Hanukkah menorah and he lit it. The leader of the group said, put that out. He's going to come back. He's going to shoot us. He said, nope. The menorah has to burn for half an hour. I've never missed Hanukkah light. Suddenly the door opened up. And the Russian guard came in with his machine gun pointing at them and said, hands up. And he looked at the menorah and he said, Rabbi, I'm Jewish too. It's been 6 years since I saw a Hanukkah menorah. He took out a bottle of vodka, he gave everybody a l'chaim, and showed them how to get across. They made it to safety. And this rabbi made it to Israel. We told this story to Rabbi Eli Hecht, who wrote it up, and it's on the internet. That's going to do it for the show, and thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you enjoy the rest of Hanukkah and don't get latke out, as we say. We hope to see you again next week. Take care.